20분 기다려 주신데. 옴 나모 바가바테 바수디바야
옴 나모 바가바테 바수디바야
나모 바가바테 바수디바야
옴 나모 바가바테 바수디바야
나모 바가바테 바수디바야
옴 나모 바가바테 바수디바야.
Since you're not going to be able to show your Bhagavatam, are you going to read from that yourself, or can we? Let's.
I'm going to actually quote it right now.
Okay.
Really.
Great.
I have two more out there. If you want, two more.
Yeah, two more. So that we can chant responsibly, a little more intelligibly. Why don't you go within there? He videos every morning Bhagavatam class in the last 5 years or 3 years. Very conscientious, except when he's out of town. Please look on. Narayan, you can look on with his verse, the book, with the Prabhupada Das has. Just here. This is Purusha Sukta Confirmed, Chapter 6. And it's Brahma speaking to Narada. And he's speaking about what happens before there's anything to work with. What he does in order to create the obedience for the sub-creation, to manifest them. Yadashanabhyan nalinad.
Yadashanabhyan nalinad.
Aham asam mahatmanah.
Aham asam mahatmanah.
Navidam yagyasam bharan.
Navidam yagyasam bharan.
Purushasva yavan rite.
Purushasva yavan rite.
Yadashanabhyan nalinad.
Yadashanabhyan nalinad.
Aham asam mahatmanah.
Aham asam mahatmanah.
Navidam yagyasam bharan.
Navidam yagyasam bharan.
Purushavaya. Purusha vaya vanrite.
Purusha vaya vanrite.
Yadashanabhyan nalinad.
Yadashanabhyan nalinad.
Aham asam mahatmanah.
Aham asam mahatmanah.
Navidam yagyasam bharan.
Navidam yagyasam bharan.
Purushas. Purusha vaya vanrite.
Purusha vaya vanrite.
Yada.
Yada.
At the time of.
At the time of.
Asya.
Asya.
His.
His.
Nabhya.
Nabhya.
From the abdomen.
From the abdomen.
Navina.
Navina.
From the lotus flower.
From the lotus flower.
Aham.
Aham.
Myself.
Myself.
Asam.
Asam.
Took my birth.
Took my birth.
Maha Atmanah.
Maha Atmanah.
Of the great person.
Of the great person.
Na Avidam.
Na Avidam.
Did not know.
Did not know.
Yagya.
Yagya.
Sacrificial.
Sacrificial.
Sambharan.
Sambharan.
Ingredients.
Ingredients.
Purusha.
Purusha.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Avayavan.
Avayavan.
Personal bodily limbs.
Personal bodily limbs.
Rite.
Rite.
Except.
Except.
Translation. Brahma speaking. When I was born from the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord, Prabhupada puts in brackets Mahavishnu, even though it's Karvadaksha and Vishnu, we'll discuss. The great person, that's Garbhadakshaya Vishnu or Mahavishnu, Purusha, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performances except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Very interesting purport. Lord Brahma, the creator of the cosmic manifestation, is known as Swayambhu, or one who is born without father and mother. The general process is that a living creature is born out of the sex combination of the male father and the female mother. But Brahma, the firstborn living being, is born out of the abdominal lotus flower of the Mahavishnu, plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The abdominal lotus flower is part of the Lord's bodily limbs, and Brahma is born out of the lotus flower. Listen to this. Therefore, Lord Brahma is also a part of the Lord's body. Pretty cool. Which leads to a very interesting philosophical question. Like, where does spirit end and matter begin? We'll come back to it. Brahma, after his appearance in the gigantic hollow of the universe, saw darkness and nothing else. He felt perplexity. He probably would too. And from his heart, he was inspired by the Lord to undergo austerity, thereby acquiring the ingredients for sacrificial performances. Come back to that one too. But there was nothing beside the two of them, namely the personality of Mahavishnu and Brahma himself. Again, this is the third time where Mahavishnu's name is used instead of Garbhadakshay Vishnu's name, but we'll speak on that. There was nothing but the two, Mahavishnu and Brahma himself, born of the bodily part of the Lord. For sacrificial performances, many ingredients were in need, especially animals. The animal sacrifice is never meant for killing the animal, but for achieving the successful result of the sacrifice. The animal offered in the sacrificial fire is, so to speak, destroyed, but the next moment it is given a new life by dint of the Vedic hymns chanted by the expert priest. When such an expert priest is not available, the animal sacrifice in the fire of the sacrificial altar is forbidden. Thus, Brahma created even the sacrificial ingredients out of the bodily limbs of the Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, which means that the cosmic order was created by Brahma himself. What did you say? Thus, Brahma created even the sacrificial ingredients out of the bodily limbs of the Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, which means that the cosmic order was created by Brahma himself. We'll come back. And one of the questions that he's answering that comes earlier, Narada wants to know from Brahma, are you the supreme or someone supreme above you? because I thought, you're it. You're the creator, and everything's coming from you, isn't it? What about the ingredients? He's answering the question about the ingredients in this verse. Ingredients don't come from Brahma, it comes from the tapa of Brahma, and we'll discuss some more. So the role of Brahma as the creator, he's a sub-creator. That's the idea. He's a creator. But he does under the authority of and with the capacity to and receiving the ingredients from Garbhodaksha and Vishnu. Also, nothing is created out of nothing, but everything is created from the person of the Lord. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pavartate, everything is made from my bodily limbs. And I am therefore the original source of all creations. Second paragraph. Now he goes through the twisted logic of the impersonalists. The impersonalists argue that there is no use in worshipping the Lord when everything is nothing but the Lord himself. The personalist, however, worships the Lord out of a great sense of gratitude, mentioned twice in this paragraph, utilizing the ingredients born out of the bodily limbs of the Lord. Examples. The fruits and flowers are available from the body of the earth, and yet Mother Earth is worshipped by the sensible devotee with ingredients born from the earth. Similarly, Mother Ganges is worshipped by the water of the Ganges. And yet the worshipper enjoys the result of such worship. Worship of the Lord is also performed by the ingredients born from the bodily limbs of the Lord. And yet the worshipper, who is himself a part of the Lord, achieves the result of devotional service to the Lord. While the impersonalist wrongly concludes that he is the Lord himself, the personalist, out of a great gratitude, worships the Lord in devotional service, knowing perfectly well that nothing is different from the Lord. The devotee therefore endeavors to apply everything in the service of the Lord because he knows that everything is the property of the Lord and that no one can claim anything as one's own. This perfect conception of oneness helps the worshiper in being engaged in his loving service. That's Krishna's loving service. Whereas the impersonalist, being falsely puffed up, remains a non-devotee forever without being recognized by the Lord. End of purport. Vidasya nabhyan nalinad aham asam mahatmanaha navidam yagya sambharan purushava yavandrute. When I was born from the abdominal flower of the Lord, the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord, Mahavishnu, the great person, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performance except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. So, just a little background. The sequence of verses. Two verses ago, Brahma established the answer to one of Narada's questions. No, I'm not the Supreme. The personality of God is Supreme. And that means everything comes from Him, and I'm His servant. Then yesterday's verse was, Brahma then describes from that personality of Godhead, Purushottama, what things come from him? And he has a little list. Universal globes, a gigantic universal form, the elements, the senses, modes of nature, etc. And then he says, Tadravyam, all that stuff. Manifests from the Supreme Lord, much like the rays and the light of the sun manifest from the sun, and they are to be understood as separate from or distinct from the source of emanation. So there's the oneness and difference message. Now, this verse, Brahma said, where's the stuff? At least the ingredients, please. And I'll take care of the, you know. So the orbs are there. The layers of the universe, the shell of the universe is elements. And so that's what's come from the body of Mahavishnu. And then within each universe, Garbha Daksha Vishnu, then the Brahma of each universe. So he's looking around and I don't see any light. I don't see any stuff. I don't see anything except the limbs of the Lord, this stem. So he was very intelligent. He considered, I bet if I went down the length of the stem, since I peered on this lotus flower, let me go down this stem, then I'll find where it came from. But it was a spiritual stem. So he couldn't find the end. As far as he went. So there's some very important messages here. There's the manifest state of the ingredients, and they're not yet manifest, although the ingredients are there. So there's like this concept that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati uses in, you know, he takes the Sanskrit words and puts it in English terms, and but it's really dictionary-like English terms. There's the primordial ingredients. Just like in, and then there's the ingredients. There's the primordial senses, and then there's the senses. Just like in the, Narada speaking to King Prajinibari, the allegorical story of King Paranjan, and the, you know, the queen and the city and the nine gates of the city, and so that allegorical thing. So we have knowledge acquiring senses when you study that section, the King Paranjan story. You should be very clear, even before you put, because it's very intricate. There's the subtle state, and there's the gross state. The subtle senses and the gross senses. Let's say the knowledge acquiring sense. Let's say the sense of hearing. And then there's this thing, the ear. That's the gross instrument. Supposing there's a failure in the gross instrument. It's like it gets broken. Something happens. So modern technology may one day learn how to, you know, make it, put in another part, just like an automobile. And then, so now you can hear again. Because the sense of hearing is there, just the instrument's broken. But, you know, it's different than an automobile in the sense that the power of locomotion does not exist in an automobile just by putting in a new engine. You have to have an operator. It's interesting. It's Sankhya is interesting. I hope you understand the implication. Say the power of locomotion. Supposing somebody doesn't have legs, or the power for their legs to move doesn't work. But because the power of locomotion is given to the soul in the subtle state, then the power of locomotion works by, you know, they get some machine that they work with their hands, or they work with some other method, and then they can have locomotion. Something like that. When your car, the car breaks down, then you can walk, ride a horse. But it's because the inherent power of locomotion is there. That, you know, that renders the instrument. So what Brahma wants is the ingredients for sacrifice. They exist in a subtle state because nothing comes from nothing. Something comes from something. And that, so the impersonalist scientist would say the something that from which something comes, that's just Prakriti. So that's their, you know, the bottom line for them. What's the absolute, what is that from which everything comes? It's Prakriti. Beyond that, there's nothing. That's it. That's God. And there's matter, and there's laws of matter, laws of nature, physical laws. That's it. And that's what a number of modern scientists, led by what Prabhupada didn't have nice words to say about, fools and rascals, Mayaya Paritta Jnana, and Asuras, and Duspritinas, and people like that, say, Peter Dawkins says, God's a myth. Because, so, it's not that the Einstein, you know, laws of conservation of energy, matter and energy, there's not a contradiction with the Vedic model, but the question is, where does everything come from, is the basic question. So, there's a level of Brahma didn't have the ingredients, there's a more subtle level, the ingredients, you know, the warehouse existed. He didn't know how to manifest it. So what did he do to manifest it? He underwent austerities before he could do the yajna. So that's a very wonderful concept. His thing was, well, a two-part thing. It was self-realization. He wanted to know, who am I? Where have I come from? Hey, what's going on here? So we might want to know that too. Who am I? And where did I come from? Where am I going to? And where am I now? And what's it all about? We have songs about what's it all about. They don't have answers. But if that inquisitive spirit wants some answers, then part two, or parallel with that, is what am I supposed to do? So Brahma's thing he was supposed to do was create a universe. And our thing may be whatever our thing may be. You know, sing a song, or write a book, or make a software program, or produce a family, or, you know, whatever our thing is. Cook an offering. So if the ingredients are like already there, hey, just go cook the offering. Or, you know, produce a family, or, you know, write a software program, or whatever your thing is, without any sense of where it came from. So the mechanistic, hard-hearted, atheistic view is, didn't come from anywhere, it just exists, it's primordial. And you just, you know, do something with it, and then, you know, people want to impose ethics on good or bad, you know, okay, that's their thing. It's nothing inherently good or bad. You can make up some rules and say, good, because it's convenient for you to do so. And somebody else says, that's not good, this is good, and that's bad. And, you know, that person has as much of a right to say this is good and that's bad as you do for that's bad and this is good. Because nothing really matters. Existentialism. And you got all this noise going on. With people really not having any sense of living in harmony with what really is. And then they're vying for supremacy over, you know, nothing really is. Like Prabhupada spoke about one, geez, I forget his name, some guy from India, you probably know, as soon as I say, his philosophy was nobody needs a teacher. Then he went around teaching. So Prabhupada said, no, the king has no clothes. If he says you don't need a teacher, then why are you teaching?
Krishnamurti,
thank you. Krishnamurti. Etc. There's so much blah, blah, blah stuff going on, and there's no real foundation. If it's all one, you know, so many challenges, it's all one. It's all one. Give me all your money. It's all one, right? It's all one. Why don't you wear a cotton ball? Why are you wearing a shirt? It's all one. You don't live your life by the philosophy you speak, so why are you speaking of philosophy nonsense? And so on. So, but he doesn't go through the whole range. He just chooses to speak about the impersonalist. Because the impersonalist has this idea, it's all one, there's oneness. So if everything comes from God, then why do you have to worship God? Because everything comes from God. So that, but the devotee, they just live in oneness. Why do you need this worship thing? It's all one. Just be one. Be one with everything. The devotee, in that sense of oneness, everything has come from God. This is where bhakti comes, like a seed, very seminal state of bhakti is gratitude. I'll go down this path very briefly. I was explaining this once in a class, but this idea that gratitude awakens deeper feelings. I was describing like this. When you give, I do this, you give something to a child, you just, you know, distribute Mahaprasad, and the kids get Mahaprasad, and they just look like this. Or just, and it's before they put it in their mouth, the parents hold their hands and say, you know, parents are saying, what do you say? They have to teach their kids please and thank you. Because you've got to be nice. Say please, and then thank you. Don't just demand something. So, thank you. So you can teach the person manners, but how do you teach a child the feelings of gratitude? I was saying this once, and someone, you know, raised their hand. Said, I'm an educator, and the educators say this is one thing you can't teach a child. They don't know how to teach a child gratitude. They know how to teach the child the behavior, but the feeling, they don't know. Feel gratitude. But think, feel gratitude. I'm feeling hungry. I know I'm supposed to say thank you, but how do I? So beneath the manifest state and then the subtle state, there's the acknowledgement of where everything came from. Now, Brahma's got it made because There was nothing to just take for granted. He had to undergo undergo austerity so that the ingredient could be manifest so he could cook his offering or, you know, build his universe or have his family or, you know, whatever it was. Because all he had was, you know, the limbs of the Supreme Lord in the form of this lotus flower and the stem, and that was it, and darkness. So when there was stuff, he was very clear. By the mercy of Krishna, there's this stuff, and now I can do my work. I can do my thing. So what about those of us that have the stuff and don't necessarily have that feeling of gratitude? How do we... So, fortunately... Is someone calling in? You just have to press the button. If you associate with those that have that quality, it helps to get that quality. Those that have devotion, through the association with those that have devotion, one can awaken devotion, just like you can start a fire from a match that's lit, but not a match that's not lit. It, you know, there's this thing that you're trying to ignite is ignitable if it's dry. And something that helps the, you know, making our gratitude inherent component possible is austerity. Prabhupada gave encouragement to different devotees to do different services. Go start a temple, go start a magazine, go start a family, go start a business, go distribute books. So there's like some instruction for service, and then maybe even the ingredients are there. But there's this like space in between the instruction and the execution of the instruction. What you put in that space is austerity. The austerity of, well, gee, you know, how do I start a temple because all I have is a pair of cartels. And, you know, what a... my beat bag. What do I do? So, taking up that activity in a mood of service, that's part of the austerity. It's like a very common refrain that appears in the Bhagavatam. This is particularly for devotees who are householders and may someday have a family. But it applies to other forms of service. When instructions were given, like the Prajetas, the sons of King Prajinivara, were given the instruction, please assist me in creating good praja. What's the first thing they did? For 10,000 years, they planned to go off and perform austerity. Why? So that they could produce good praja. Now, the ingredients was there, whatever, you know, the procreation capacity was there. But to produce good praja requires preparing oneself. The Haryashvas and Sabalashvas, the sons of Daksha, same thing. It's just like standard operating procedure. But those that don't have the training think, oh, just go and do it. Just go write a book, or go give a class, or go lead a kirtan, or go cook an offering, or go create a family, or go to get a job and earn some money and use the fruits for Krishna. There has to be some some preparation of consciousness. And the Bhagavad Dharma process, that tapa, that austerity, begins with this process of hearing with great care and attention, and then the same sense of gratitude. Wow, the everything that I need in order to do this is being just, you know, delivered on a silver platter with a velvet cushion around it. And all I said was, gee, I'd like to learn about, you know, a little bit about devotional service. And all this stuff just came. Wow. And if we're like the child, it's just, you know, look at the thing and think, oh, that's nice, and just enjoy it. Without, so the gratitude is, what an amazing reciprocation. You're leaning on the picture, it's tilting. Straighten the frame out, if you would. Yeah, a little more. Okay. It's a principle. What's being described, Brahma is saying it about himself, but it's a principle that for that which we need for rendering our service to Krishna, Krishna is the provider, we are not. We need to undergo that which will purify our existence, Krishna doesn't need it. And then that manifests abundantly. Whatever is it we require. An example, another scriptural example is Prithu Maharaj. When he was born, his father was, well, he was a demon. Because he was born from the churning of the limbs of his father, the Brahman who created Prithu. So the first thing that Prithu did was, because the lack of austerities and sacrifice, Mother Earth had been restricting. So Prithu got on her case. Start producing. Oh, wait. The reason that there's been restriction is because there's not been religious practices going on. So why provide abundantly for people that are going to misuse the supply? You know, get on their case to perform religious practices. Please. So whatever it is that we require, see, material consciousness works backwards. It just destroys the spirit of devotion. The material consciousness is, I need a certain amount of stuff in order to be peaceful in prosecuting my Krishna consciousness. So I got to first, you know, stock up and stuff. Then I'll be peaceful and I can perform devotional service. But, you know, it works. The nature's supply works just the opposite way. The materialist doesn't understand that. It's just like less and less and more people, so we have to like fight over what exists rather than, you know, the principle is backwards. The principle is everything comes into being out of these qualitative activities of austerity and sacrifice. And devotion under the, offering unto the Supreme that which he has supplied with great feelings of gratitude. The supply increases. Even for the pious materialist who thinks this is a good program, I'll give in charity, I'll get back 10 times or 100 times, depending on where I give the charity. That's a good investment. He's just very business-minded. The devotee is one that doesn't think like that. It's not, oh, this is a good investment. It's gratitude. What can I do but give and give? And what is it that I have to give? It's nothing but that which has come from this source. That's okay. With gratitude, here. Let me make this offering. And what's an eligible item to be offered? Whatever has come from the Supreme is an eligible item. As long as one can understand what is the suitable offering to make, that I don't fall into the pool of trying to be the enjoyer of that which I'm making the offering of. Like, you know, some recognition, some distinction, some appreciation from others for making nice offerings. Offerings. I'm a very good offering maker. One has to be very careful. Now, nice, it's subtle, maybe I'll lose some of you with this, but the question of how does something material come from something spiritual? God is all spiritual, yes? Yes. And so everything that comes from Him needs to be all spiritual, yes? Yes. So then how do we have this material stuff that comes from He who is all spiritual? And even more, where do you draw the line? Okay, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he's an expansion from the Vaikuntha realm of Lord Sankarshan. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, all spiritual? Yes. What about the lotus stem that comes from the body of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu? All spiritual, confirmed in the purport. The lotus flower, all spiritual. Then there's Brahma. Spiritual and material. And then what comes from Brahma? Spiritual and material. So where's the line? Where's that dividing line? Because, you know, we got this material way of looking at things, and it's either this or that. And there's got to be this, you know, it's either in this bucket or that bucket. Because that's what the intelligence says. Well, like, is it a particle or a wave? Those of you that are scholars, you know this argument. And then the answer is, well, it depends on how you look at it. It's subjective. Science is not objective. And all the big scientists are buying into it. Yeah, it's either depends on how you look at it. You can do the experiment over and over again, and it depends on how you look at it. So it all depends on how you look at what? How you look at Krishna. Are you looking at the thing that comes from Krishna? Do you see it in relation to Krishna? So the body of Lord Brahma is temporary, but it acts in a spiritual way depending upon you could say even the moment-to-moment consciousness of the observer. So our scriptures teach that the body, there's a body and there's a soul within Lord Brahma is a post, and he gets a body. It's a soul that occupies the body, and the soul using the body does some functions. But those functions are empowered functions. The empowerment to do comes from the Supreme Lord. The creative potency is Lord Brahma is in category of two avatars. He's the Guna avatar in charge of the mode of passion. Then he's a Shaktivesh avatar. He's empowered by the Lord's creative potency, Srishti Shakti. But Srishti Shakti is the Lord's potency. Brahma is embodying it or is carrying it. He's the vessel that manifests the Lord's potency for creation. So that means it spiritualizes his body. Although it's material, it acts spiritual. And here's the statement directly, word for word, in the purport. The abdominal lotus flower is part of the Lord's bodily limbs, and Brahma is born out of the lotus flower. Therefore, Lord Brahma is also a part of the Lord's body. And you can keep extending it. Everything that exists is a part of the Lord's body, at least a part of his universal form body. Because that's in the previous verse, the Virat. He enters The ingredients are manifest, at least in their subtle state, and the virat is manifest in this hollow of the universe. But you know, not everybody sees that virat. In fact, not very few. Arjuna saw, but we don't see. We see, you know, stuff. So we don't see virat. But it exists. And Arjuna asked, please give me the divine eyes to see, and okay, here it is. Divine eyes, there it is. Oh. Oh. Please take that one away. Let me see your original form. So, shows his original form. But the virat exists, whether you see it or you don't see it. The subtle state exists, whether you see it or you don't see it. And then, our service manifests the particular configuration, just like fruitive desire also manifests particular configurations of matter according to, you know, the demoniac or divine point of observation. Just a little anecdote. Once we were with on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in Central Park, and that particular morning, there's pictures of it actually. We're walking around that on the east side above 72nd Street. Those of you that are New Yorkers, there's a pond where they have statues of storytelling people around the pond, you know, the children's pond. They have boats go around. So we were walking around the pond, and we just kept walking north. And it's to where the Museum of Modern Art is. I think that's which museum. We just walked, and all of a sudden there was this sculpture. And it was grotesque looking. It was modern art. Sculpture. Prabhupada pointed with his cane and said, this is the mind of the modern artist. He is manifesting his mind in a gross form. That's what art is. An expression of, you know, the mind of Picasso or, you know, whoever the persons are. Jackson Pollock. Just splatter paint. Throw it at the canvas. Anger. It's like rap music. Four letter word. I'm an artist. So, matter makes its configuration according to the consciousness of the individual. And for a devotee, we want to do devotional things, so we have to prepare our consciousness for those devotional things that we do. And Krishna makes arrangements that from the unlimited warehouse that he has, things that we need and not more than what we need, things that we need for our devotional service. And if something comes more than what we need, we know what to do with it. It gets used in a charitable way to further some other type of service for Krishna. So Prabhupada writes, Brahma, after his appearance in the gigantic hollow of the universe, saw darkness and nothing else. He felt perplexity. And from his heart, he was inspired by the Lord to undergo austerity and thereby acquiring the ingredients for sacrificial performances, which was what his service was. So whatever our service requires, you may feel, gee, I don't have what I require for my service. Sure, I'll become the temple commander if da 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 da. And if it's not the da 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 da, find somebody else. Or, etc. 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 I'll gladly serve Krishna if he fills my inventory list. He's got a good supply. Not unreasonable. Look at the list, it's very reasonable. I have to eliminate a couple of things, but reasonable list. Prabhupada didn't start the Hare Krishna movement with, you know, the inventory list fulfilled. He started with an order of his spiritual master. Mission impossible, go do it. I need to prepare myself. So that, you know, lifetime of preparation, that volume of Lilamrita. But the order was still there, and he had faith in the order, and in the course of time, Krishna manifested everything, and he understood. Krishna has sent, or he, my spiritual master has sent, so many nice boys and girls. But not without the preliminary austerity and so forth. Some nice lessons in the lives of our acharyas and the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even this is about Purusha Sukta confirmed and Mahavishnu. Oh, yeah, the Mahavishnu Garbhadakshaya Vishnu thing is, it's the same person. Different nomenclature, same person. Prabhupada doesn't, there's no like explicit explanation given why he chose Mahavishnu three times when it's very clearly Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and even the same purport is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. But it's not, it's the same person with a different name according to a different function. That's all that's going on. Okay, so it's 5 to 9. Any discussion? Questions? Yeah.
How do we know what austerities to perform for the kind of instructions that we are giving?
Well, if you've got some instructions, you can ask what kind of austerities too. But you know, there are core instructions that we all should understand our instructions. You know, to perform our basic sadhana in a qualitative way. Like everybody in the room knows this one. Do it early. Not sometime, but you know, the ideal is to do it early. So be very clean, regulated. So, you know, in don't offend devotees, that's a little austerity that, you know, if you don't observe it, destroys everything. It's an austerity because it's Kali Yuga, it's, you know, it's quarrel time. Or better not quarrel. In the age of quarrel? It's not fair. A little bit. So, I would just make it really easy for you and say, I think that the austerities that have been given to you to perform are you know, that'll keep you busy for a while. Those austerities nicely and consistently, and that will bring the necessary purity and qualification for the ingredients that you need for the service you need to do. Trust in that. Not like you need a longer list. But some people like shorter lists. Like the class last night, the reference from the third chapter of Nectar Devotion, where Prabhupada expresses that the eligibility for a candidate for devotional service chapter 3, Nectar Devotion, where Prabhupada begins the chapter outlining, through the association of Mahatmas, one may develop some attraction for Krishna, but at the same time one may be attached to fruitive activities or sense gratification. But then there's this attraction for Krishna. Then one who has unflinching attraction for Krishna, despite this other baggage, can quickly become an eligible candidate for devotional service and achieve the fruit of devotional service. So how do you get this unflinching attraction for Krishna while you got this other baggage going on? So it's, you know, this becomes more important, and that becomes, as a result, becomes less important and fades. Like Dhruva, that was the example. So that's the austerity that makes us eligible for whatever it is that we need. Yoga Kshema Vahamaham, same message. Yes, Arvind?
Guru Maharaj, you said that whether a thing is material or spiritual depends on the observer. I'm having difficulty, for example, the example of rap music.
It's spiritual in the sense that it's an energy of Krishna. We don't think, oh, this is spiritual. So it's spiritual in the sense that it's an energy that's come from Krishna. Now, that person who has an attitude towards Krishna that's anger makes a configuration of matter that looks like that or sounds like that. So the consciousness. But from an absolute perspective, say someone's an Uttama Adhikari. Not like us. Someone's an Uttama Adhikari. This person's engaged in devotional service to Krishna. Not in a favorable way, but they're engaged in devotional service to Krishna. So we're in this Madhyama position, and we're seeing these categories of Krishna's energies. But even that, you know, the modes of nature, they're under Krishna's direction. So we can see like that too. And our conscious, we can elevate ourselves above the modes of nature to the degree that we can see the relationship of us to Krishna. It will not, you know, say Prabhupada came to the Western countries having never been exposed to, you know, the kinds of things that he was exposed to. He did not become, like the sun, does not become contaminated by contact with impurity, but the sun purifies that which it comes in contact with. So in that sense, seeing in relation to Krishna, you know, seeing what it is, if this is this mode, that's that mode, that's that mode. Krishna sees the modes of nature, he describes them, but it's his energy. So in that way one can spiritualize based on spiritual consciousness.
So how should we observe a rapper, for example, in a way that benefits him rather than getting, like many times I get disgusted.
I get disgusted too. But you know that it's not something that we, you know, eagerly associate with that sound vibration, but rather, you know, this is coming from a place of anger. So why is there such anger? The person's been abused badly. Go past, you know, to the emotion to pass the sound vibration to the emotion, to pass the emotion to what's triggering that emotion. Abused badly. And you can see it happening today, you know, how people are treating other people. So, you know, children are growing up in a way that it's horrific. Rap music. They're the next generation of whatever that sound is going to be. Because they're so badly abused. And the absence of you know, loving dealings. So, while you're rolling your window up, because the car next to you is about to explode, you know, the rap music is blasting and rocking the car. What can be done to diminish the abuse of the human form of life upon other forms of life, including other humans? Well, by exchanging with them on the platform that you would want to be exchanged with, where you were that small, extend those kinds of gestures and respect and dignity and appreciation and love and so forth. Forgiveness when they act out their frustrations and angers. And, I mean, not like, it's okay, keep doing it, it's great. But, no, forgiveness. Because where is it coming from? From hurt inside. You know, fortunately, most of us, the children that we have to deal with, there's a more supportive atmosphere than some people have to deal with. We have to start somewhere.
Good morning, by trying to understand austerity, I'm able to relate to physical austerity as well. So how do I understand and motivate myself to understand in a certain sense that I should have a desire to carry a service in the mode of service? How do I understand austerity in
there's knowledge acquiring senses, there's working senses, and there's the mind. 11 senses. Austerity generally is in relation, thought of in relation to those 11 senses. So austerity for the mind, austerities of speech, it's in Bhagavad Gita. And so speak, that's austerity of speech. Speak the truth palatably. That's austerity. Don't speak lies, speak the truth, and speak the truth palatably. That's a challenge. Meet the challenge. It's, you know, it's more subtle than fasting. So, there's lists, rather than going through the list, there's lists of motive goodness, passion, and ignorance, different kinds of austerities, and just try to match up with the motive goodness ones. Cultivate them.
Guru, when a service is being given, and before the execution of service and the period of austerity, one's also, say, crying out to Krishna or the ability to perform that service in a pleasing way. Is there a point, or can we be able to distinguish between doing that in the fruitive way or doing that in the
I would say two things. One is take it for granted that there's a mix in our present state. There's some devotion, some fruition. And the measure of less fruitive, more devotional, is you're thinking of yourself less and thinking of Krishna more. Specifically, Krishna should be pleased. That's a real simple rule. Another is that there's consistency in it. It's less intermittent, more steady. More steady is more devotional. More intermittent is it's prompted by, you know, something I want. We're very prone by our upbringing to be achievers. So, I was commenting to Prabhupada Das this morning that, you know, that in this group, so many of you have your higher degrees in education. You know, and what's behind that, universally, is somebody was at your back saying, achieve. Get that degree. Keep going. More. Better. So in many cases, it's not good enough. So, gee, since you were, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper, little pipsqueak, gee. And so, we take on devotional service with very much the same conditioning, gee. Kartahami Pimanyate. You can do it, you're smart, you're good, you're an achiever, go, go, go. Primitive to the max. False ego all over the place. So that's you know, that in within your question of doing it for me, I'm going to achieve. There's another mountain to climb, another conquest to control, another achievement. My achievement list. But that's not the devotional mood, and such tendencies. Very strong. So it takes a lot of, you know, gradual chipping away, eroding, and putting in its place this a relationship of loving expression, and this and recognizing back to this principle of gratitude, recognizing this is what I'm being offered. This now ties into the theme of what I want to speak. And as soon as I stop blabbering, you'll all go downstairs and get ready for the... This is the theme of what something I want to speak about. So I guess we'll end with that to be continued. Okay, thank you very much to the Prabhupada.
Yeah. Yeah.